Hey, this is David Kay, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. This Transformers Tuesday, it's a can't-miss podcast that transforms your world. Just saying.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to all things Transformers.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag. Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers and the pull bag.
That's right.
I am your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into the Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
It's episode 442, Who Knew of ATTF, and this is episode 519 of the Pullbag, ladies and gentlemen, and I have a Transformer. Of course, I hit it and it doesn't work.
More than meets the eye. Autobots, roll out!
I have Peter Cullen in the palm of my hand, just like I have David Kay.
Yes.
In the palm of my hand.
Not gonna lie, that is pretty cool.
Absolutely. $18, that's all. That
and all I need to do is get a battery that goes to my knockoff Masterpiece Megatron,
and you can voice it.
Well, and it, I could press the button and it will talk.
Oh, cool.
It will do lights and talk.
Nice.
So, yeah,
that is so cool. So we're here. We have six quick hit stories. And then because this is also the pullback, we're going to get into Transformers Marvel US Volume 4.
More than meets the eye.
And we'll get into that after the news, folks. But first up, we have Lorenzo D. Bonaventura talks about Transformers Rise of the Beasts. Character arcs dominate the story. All right. Well, in a 2-hour movie, I don't know how that's going to happen. But this is what he says from Collider, who sat down with him for an exclusive lengthy interview about the upcoming movie Transformers Rise of the Beast. I think the overall architecture of this movie is definitely unique for this movie, and it's always going to be influenced by what we did in the Bay movies in certain respects, because that's how the robots have been rendered. But just like in Bumblebee, we gave them a different spin. Same here. I think the way to talk about this is what were our goals in making this? In making Bumblebee, our objective was to see how far, frankly, we could create intimacy in a movie with a robot. Well, AI is a thing now, folks. And it was a conscious attempt not to make the biggest scale, but to center the story around an emotional construct. I think the movie is very successful in what it did. There were fans that complained there was not enough action, but it was very well received as a movie, blah, blah, blah. So our first objective was to figure out how do we hold on to the emotionality of the experience for the humans that are going through it. And our decision was to give them character arcs that are more significant than we've done before. Transformers live action writers, right? It's hard to say that about Shia LaBeouf in the first movie. You know, he goes from being a young man essentially to a man, right? In this case, Anthony Ramos and Dominique, this is Flashback's characters, are both characters who are trying to find their way in life, yada, yada, yada. So character arcs. And okay, sure. Again, I don't know how many character arcs you can fit into a 2-hour, 3-hour, 7-hour movie.
I'm quite honestly done with crappy films. I find it funny. Deadline.com reported this, and they went, oh,
We have, they're like, the first, and this is totally related, but not related.
Right.
You know, the first Transformers animated movie is being cast or whatever. And I had to roll my eyes. DJ goes, "You've missed the point." Like, I need to find what he said, but
all right, well, while you're looking for that, so we're going into this and we're going into Transformers 1. So we're switching from Rise of the Beast to Transformers 1. Last thing I'll say about Rise of the Beasts is that the quote unquote final trailer, because we are recording and probably yes. releasing this somewhere around May 2nd, May 3rd, May the 4th be with you, Revenge of the 5th, Revenge of the 6th, all that stuff. So we're releasing this approximately 1 month before Rise of the Beasts hits theaters. So I assume the most recent trailer, which I'll probably throw in here somewhere.
For centuries, our kind has stayed hidden on Earth. But darkness has found us again. Prime. This is about the fate of all living things. Unicron is coming.
It won't stop!
Back up!
Oh, I thought we were boys!
You want it? Come and get it!
You brought a human here?
I'm nobody. I ain't even seen nothing. I'm not even seeing anything right now.
Think you hold the link, but you haven't met the ape. Stop! Stop!
This is not our war.
Optimus, we must trust each other to protect the home we all share.
How big can this guy be?
He eats planets. So, like, way bigger than a planet.
Everything you cared for will be consumed.
Maybe there's another way to save our home.
You've never faced anything like this. Let them come.
You know, it's the final trailer. I didn't hate it. I liked it. I like what I saw. I'm interested. But I'm not going to go to the theater to see it. I don't I don't leave my house half the time. I don't leave my apartment half the time. So that is what it is. So switching from that to Transformers 1, you sent me this. And I don't even have to scroll up in our Facebook chat to see. You go, I don't say this lightly, but fuck this. And then you put the link to the story. And we'll get into the casting of Transformers 1 in a moment. My reply to you was, FFS, obviously. For fuck's sake, I'm so tired of insert actor here. And the only blah, blah, blah. So let's get into this casting. So casting for Transformers 1. First of all, I actually love the name because it's basically telling you, look, this is the beginning. This is not tied to anything else. We're not trying to tie it back to Beast Wars, Beast Machines, Animated, G1, G2, Robots. This is a new I like that. I love that. I think that's great. Transformers 1, O-N-E. Absolutely love that. The animated voice cast includes Chris Hemsworth. I'll tell about the characters in a moment. Chris Hemsworth, Brian Tyree Henry, Scarlett Johansson, Keegan-Michael Key, John Hamm, and Lawrence Fishburne. Now, those are the ones that have been reported as of this recording so far. Chris Hemsworth is playing Optimus Prime.
Hence my comment.
I know. And I am so fucking tired of Hemsworth. Look, he's an okay actor. He's fairly.
Well, it's not even that. The thing that irritates me is they're not giving the actors, like the voice actors, their due. Yeah. Like these people that have worked their butt off to get these characters on screen.
Yeah.
And they're just like, what are you? Chop liver? And like they don't like they instantly. And I get it. They're going for the name appeal, which to each their own on that. I am sick and tired of like the Marvel people showing up.
Yeah.
And it's more so just I just don't care anymore. Like it's done. And I would prefer that they like it's like what they did with the Mario movie. Yes, let's put a bunch of names in there that people know.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I don't have a love for when that happens. It doesn't make me want to go see the movie. What makes me want to see the movie is that I can tell that the casting is competent and the story is competent. If it's not, it's an instant like no.
It
boils down to writing. If the writing sucks, like there's no
absolutely writing. It does. Yeah,
and I feel like there hasn't been a decent Transformers movie made in years because the powers that be continue to garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah. And the thing is that I understand they're going for high value celebrities to get this to mass appeal to mass audience, not just us who have been fans all our lives kind of thing. I understand that. But that's not what this needs to be. Like, you could give these roles to John Bailey and Jason Marnosha, the Optimus and Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
You give it to them. You could give it to who they really should give it to, which is obviously Peter Cullen and Frank Welker.
If they're trying to start a new generation, give it to people that either sound like they can play the role competently.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a sound alike of Peter Cullen and Frank Welker.
Yeah.
Just give us, like, competent actors, in the place. And I don't want to see a Beast Wars Megatron. Yes, Megatron. Give me something with some, I don't know, just
pleasant surprise.
Exactly. Give me something with some gravitas, man.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm still going to see this. Like I said, I'm going to wait until it hits Vudu or whatever streaming service. It's going to hit probably Paramount Plus or whatever the hell. And I'll watch it. We'll talk about it. We'll discuss it. With the Mario movie thing, I haven't even seen it yet. I know it's coming out on digital May 9th, later this month. But I've seen plenty of people discuss it. I've seen plenty of clips of it where I'm okay with the voice cast that's there. And I love what they did with Charles Martinet, who is the original voice of Mario kind of thing. So I like that. It's all right. And the Mario movie is freaking – I've heard it's freaking fantastic. And obviously it's
– I've seen it. It's actually really good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll cover it at some point.
And that's not – and again, they had big actors in it, but I didn't care about that.
Yeah.
I liked the story.
Yep. Absolutely. It, like you said earlier, it all depends on the writing. I just can't envision Thor as Optimus Prime. Because really, outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I only know maybe four of Hemsworth's other films. Ghostbusters 2016, the two Extraction movies, and something else that I can't remember off the top of my head at this point.
He played Captain Kirk's dad in the reboot of Star Trek.
Okay, now... That I mentioned,
but that was good,
right? That okay, good. See, that's the thing. If he uses the voice Like, if he changes, if he doesn't go into Thor, if he doesn't make Optimus Prime Thor, if he doesn't make him, that kind, but if he goes with Kirk's dad, if he goes with George Tiberius Kirk, I think it was George. I know it was Tiberius.
It was George Kirk.
Yeah, okay, well, whatever. Point is that if he uses that kind of voice, I'll be okay. And I'm still going to check it out. I'm still going to see how, because I need to know how Hemsworth is going to do that character. I don't, without looking it up, and I don't feel like looking anything up right now, Brian Tyree Henry, I have no idea what else he's done, but he's voicing Megatron. Scarlett Johansson voicing Alita. Okay, fine. I like her voice. That's fine.
Don't whatever. You find it funny, though, that they're going to do like Orion Pax and Megatron, and then it's Alita 1 instead of Ariel?
Yeah. See, I mean, technically they are the same character, but yeah, it should be. Yeah, since this is the origin of Optimus and Megatron as friends and then enemies and whatever else.
Like, from the lore. Don't try and reinvent the wheel. Like, it's not needed.
Yeah, exactly. Keegan-Michael Key kicked ass as Toad, so I'm interested to hear his Bumblebee. John Hamm did something recently. I don't remember what the hell it was, but Sentinel Prime, okay, fine. And then my favorite, I cannot wait. I wish it was George Takei, but it's not. But Lawrence Fishburne, freaking Morpheus, as Alpha Trion.
That should be like A3.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cannot wait for that one. All right, up next we have, I found this on Twitter, and this is like, you were kind of ranting about the Transformers 1 thing and all that, and this is
It's funny because DJ Deadline brought it up.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
And he goes, in one headline, you made everyone despise a movie due to historic incompetence. Because they put as the headline, Paramount Animation, Hasbro, and E1 are teaming on the first ever animated Transformers movie. First ever.
Yeah.
And then just below it, Twitter puts how they were doing like the, fake news thing.
Right. Yeah.
It says readers added context they thought people might want to know. An animated Transformers movie came out in 1986.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
Absolutely.
I thought it was hilarious that came out. And then Ben Yee.
Yep.
He gets in there too. And he's like, Deadline, the first Transformers film was a 1986 animated feature, The Transformers, the movie. I understand president of Paramount Animation said this was the first, but they were mistaken. I would recommend a correction be posted in the article.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm like, you people, like, and this is what, drives me nuts. And I've mentioned this with even job interviews with when they refer to writing. If you're going to write an article, make sure it's factual.
Yeah, exactly.
Publish. And I get you can't know everything, but a simple Google.
Yep.
Would have done wonders.
Google is your friend for everything at this point.
And don't try and be clever with the titles.
Yeah.
And what's funny is a lot of people were just backing up the argument by posting images saying Hasbro, really? And then posted images of Transformers the movie. And so somebody goes, okay, so I didn't see this Transformers the movie in the 80s with the theme sung by Lion. I love how journalists like to rewrite history these days. And I posted that one just because, like, it's
people,
and I get it. Like, if you're not into it, you're not going to know. And I do get that. I give them some wiggle room there. However, dude, just do a Google search.
Yep.
That's even when I wrote tech articles and I had to write them for Max.
Yep.
And I didn't have one. I just would do a Google search to find what I was looking for.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You are absolutely 100% correct. And I don't know what the hell has happened to the art of journalism. It's gone.
I don't know. Like, who can we pay the least amount of money and do the laziest job? That's why they're rewriting people with AI.
Exactly. And this is a complete topic that we are going to cover on Geekcast Radio, the flagship podcast here at the GCR, and at some point soon in the future, because this is a whole topic we can all – I have huge issues with AI and creating writing and all that wibbly-wobbly, wacky, wackaboo, wackadoo stuff that AI does. All right, up next is something that, again, just like I'm tired of Chris Hemsworth, I have nothing against the man personally. I'm just tired of seeing him everywhere kind of thing.
And I get it.
Yeah, I'm tired at this point of RoboSen.
Yeah, I get the appeal of the transforming Optimus, but I don't care.
See, the thing is
about their product, because one, I'll never buy it. It's too expensive.
It's too expensive, and I understand why it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, you know, artistic, you know, marvel.
Yeah,
but
you need to have a mansion in order to use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know. I would have to look online to see if I can find what the actual square footage of my one-bedroom apartment is. I know I could probably put him over here on the carpet where there's nothing currently right now. But, again, cost and whatever else. But RoboSen, we are going primal. Autobots, assemble. Prepare to embrace the next level of the battle. RoboSen's Rise of the Beasts performance Optimus Prime rolls out online May 25th, 2023. And it's basically Rise of the Beast Optimus, at, you know, in the RoboSen and whatever else. And I'm sure it's going to have Peter Cullen's voice and all that. But it's the Rise of the Beast design. Okay, fine, great. I'm not going to buy it. Like, if I wanted... So you're talking about the original RoboSen one. I waited to see what else they were going to do with that, and then they finally released the RoboSen one with the like they actually released the trailer, and the trailer comes with, so it's kind of like MP01 versus MP04 kind of thing. MP04 came with the trailer, MP01 did not. And if I want a full Optimus Prime, whether it's auto converting or not, I want not just the tractor, I want the trailer too. That's the whole point. And then, second to last story we have, and I think this is kind of cool. Unicron.com posted on Instagram that Delzord asks, is the face of Optimus Prime in this movie designed off of the legendary voice of Prime Peter Cullen? And he tags Stephen Caple Jr., Transformers Rise of the Beast, blah, blah, blah. And it looks kind of like Peter Cullen a little bit. I mean, Prime doesn't have a mustache like Peter does, but
no, I mean, but it, the, I mean, well, actually, it does if you look really closely.
Yeah, it has kind of like the outline.
The formation is there.
Yeah, it is kind of there. But yeah, I do think that's cool that they're paying attention to that kind of detail. I wish they'd pay attention to other kinds of details. The other thing that I noticed from Unicron.com on Instagram is Coleman Downing will be the voice of Unicron in Rise of the Beasts. I have no idea who this person is. I've never heard of them. I'm going to have to look them up after the show because I'm not clicking through 700 IMDb things to find him at this point in time. So I thought that was cool. And then finally, just before we hit record for this episode, folks, we do have final product shots of Nemesis, the ship, the robot, for the Transformers Legacy Evolution, whatever multiple title things the line is. She looks good in robot mode. I like all the poses, but I love the ship. I want this, and I want the Ark just to sit on my shelf, and I would never transform them out of their ship mode, their alt modes. It looks so good.
I don't mind it. It's a Titan figure. I probably won't ever get any of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Just because I could get a Beast Wars masterpiece character for the same cost.
True. But again, but this is G1, and
if there was an Axelon.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
I'm biased. I would probably do it just so I have the ship. I would never transform it. I would just have the stinking ship on my desk.
So, Most of my posts on my personal Facebook page, folks, are memories from like 3, 4, 5, 10, 11, 15 years ago kind of thing. And the other day, actually, as of this recording, it was 15 hours ago. Memory came up from 13 years ago when I took a screen cap of, I think it's in the first, whenever they first reveal the Axelon, like after it crashes and it's all snowy. It's the snow scene of where the Axelon finally crashes, where it finally ends up in the cartoon. And I just posted 15 hours ago, but winter is over because Facebook wanted me to post the picture again after 13 years. So this is my thinking. With them having the Ark and having the Nemesis now, I think they're going to eventually get to the Axelon and the Dark Side. If they can pull it off with these two ships, they can pull it off with those two ships. And I really love the way the Ark looks, and Nemesis, she looks great too. The Ark, he looks fine. He looks great. And this looks great as well. In both modes, I just would never have it in robot mode. That's just me personally. But yeah, so I think that could potentially, possibly be coming. Anything else you've noticed before we head to a quick break?
Well, I have, in addition to some of those things, we have the Transformers Takara Beast Wars Versus sets.
Oh yes, I missed that. Is it on TFW?
It is. They've got presently there's going to be one of I mean, obviously we know Primal and Megatron.
Yeah.
Which people are sorely disappointed with the Megatron because they didn't really change all that much in the way of the colors over the Kingdom one. And then there's Rhinox and Scorponok.
Oh boy.
And then Waspinator and Cheetor.
That's a good combo. That'll work.
And they gave Cheetor the Netflix body. Well, no, the Netflix paint job where he's actually got the proper blues.
Okay. Yep.
They don't have a close up picture of him yet. And Waspinator was pretty close, but it looks like they've also changed like the wing color. It's not that purple. Like it's the translucent with the shade of purple. So it's not like completely purple. It looks like the show. So yeah, I'm excited to see what it looks like. I already have all of these figures, so I don't care. Like I'm not gonna buy the same toy again for a different paint job. I'll just paint it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that they're coming out with that. And then the RED Prime Starscream has been revealed.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like his wings pop off and you can change the hands and you can put his null ray on. I kind of like it. I mean, there's some lack of color for sure. And there's some bending of some of the rubberized plastic, which that's the main gripe I have with modern toys. Is the rubber. You can't paint it, and then once it's bent, it's screwed.
Yeah.
And then they figured out a way to repurpose the War for Cybertron Megatron figure once more.
Nice.
As minor Megatron. The Origins Megatron.
Interesting.
Like that paint job, and he's got the caution tape, and
yep.
They don't show what his head looks like or his hands yet.
Okay.
But yeah, that's one that they're working on, and people are screaming in the post, please no more Siege Megatron repaints, remolds. I'm good for now, I promise. And then there's Red Grimlock.
Okay.
Coming as well.
Cool.
He looks pretty decent. The RED ones I'm looking forward to, but at the same time, I'm waiting for more Beast Wars.
Yeah.
I really want, if there's a Megatron, I'll get him. If not, I'll probably pass on anything red. Yeah. I've been tempted for Starscream, Ultra Magnus, and G1 Megatron. And even Prime to some degree. But I like the option to transform them.
Yeah.
If I have that option. So, like, for instance, I found... I forget what the site's called. Yeah, it's... Ally Express? Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, you can find Transformers figures or just about anything. You can find knockoff versions of figures on their site for like a fraction of the cost. And so I found a knockoff Alligator Megatron.
Nice.
And he's oversized, so he's deluxe instead of basic.
Nice, that's cool.
And it was like $12 shipped.
Nice.
And I found Quick Strike, same deal.
Right.
And I was like, okay, that I could, because I mean, you're gonna pay $30 to $60 just for those brand new from the Hasbro. And you're lucky if you can get them.
Yeah.
Like, and then these are oversized, so they're the size of a deluxe. So I was like, okay, for that, I could, you know, toy around with them, tweak the colors, you know, remold things as I see fit. But it, you know, it gives me a bigger figure to go on my shelf.
Very cool.
I was like, all right, well, that's cool. So anyways, yeah, I've gotten into those a little bit. But yeah, I think I'm good as far as that stuff goes. I'm working on my Star Trek ships now.
Yes, you are. That's a whole other Defiant thing that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, other conversations.
Yes. So the last thing I found before we head to a break and come back with the comic review is, have you had any interest in Figpin? You've heard of them or anything? You know, they're the pin company that does various, like, enamel pins and things like that. They have an Optimus. Yeah.
I've heard of them. I just haven't looked into them.
I put the link to the latest one in our Facebook chat, so you can click on that really quick. So they have so far Optimus, Megatron, Bumblebee, Starscream, Jazz, and Soundwave, and they're all the G1 designs.
Well, they have Hot Rod and Galvatron too.
That's the new story. That yeah, exactly. And I have I don't dislike Figpin at all. I think it's a kind of cool thing and whatever else, but I was like, I never had, like, oh my god, I need another Optimus.
More than meets the eye.
That's the only Optimus I need at this point. Like, I don't need another Optimus. I wish I had a Megatron as far as like a voice Megatron wide.
You know that
that doesn't really count.
Well, but you know what they do with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have an app and you can scan them.
Yep.
I don't know how much I care about a digital item.
Well, true, right, but it's also a physical thing.
Yeah.
It is also a physical thing, so it isn't like, and it's not hidden behind an NFT wall or anything else. So, yes, the two new Figpin announced two new items for the officially licensed Transformers collection, Hot Rod and Galvatron. Each Figpin is crafted in cast zinc alloy, inlaid with hard enamel, and is finished with an electroplated nickel coating that include their own display cases. Both are scheduled for release mid-May 2023. These new characters join the first ones, as I already said, and I've already saved these website links to Figpin because I will most likely buy these in June because I kind of dig them. I've seen a lot of other Figpin stuff, and I've never really, like, oh my god, I have to have these. Hot Rod and Galvatron, I kind of have to have them.
I like the Prime,
but
that's about as far as it goes. Like, I like it because it's got that animation feel, but it also looks like what's on the cover of the Transformers the Movie DVD.
Yep.
So that's the only reason I like it.
Yeah.
But unless there was like a Beast Megatron or Optimus Primal, I don't think I would ever get into these. But yeah, I do like them to some degree. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Not something I would necessarily.
And again, for me, it's like I'm not like Hot Rod and Galvatron. That's pretty much all I need. Like, I don't need any of the others. I don't want any of the others. Hell, I didn't even see the story until I was scrolling for the other one that you were talking about with the two the two new whatever figures of whatever it was you're talking about a moment ago. And then I ran into this and I'm like, ooh, want. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Marvel Comics Transformers Classics Volume 4 reprinted by IDW Publishing. And we're going to talk issues 39 to 50 right after this.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons, and you're listening to All Things Transformers. Predacons, terrorize!
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
Megatron to all field units. All things Transformers is undermanned and unprotected. Ours is for the asking. Predacons, terrorize!
All right, folks, on the pullback, I'm sure you didn't... You probably fast-forwarded to this moment, 30 minutes later. Transformers Classics Volume 4, Starscream is the cover for this one. Very obviously G1 cover. And this one, as I mentioned, includes issues 38, 39 to 50. These were published from April of 1988 to March of 1989. The stories we have in this are the desert island of space, pretender to the throne, totaled, people power. Oh, God, we're going to skip that one. The big broadcast of 2006, The Cosmic Carnival. Oh, God. More humans. No. MasterCon from Mars. Cash and Carnage. That's it's Carnage, but the way it's Car-Nage. Weird. ClubCon. The Flames of Boltax. Cold War. And Darkstar. These were all written by Bob Budiansky. And all of them were done by, for the art, was done by Jose Delbo, inks by Danny Belundi, letters by Bill Oakley, colors by Neil Yomatov. I'm slowly getting to be okay with this series, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it gets better. For sure.
You've been saying that for three episodes before
it,
this.
It is. This issue is where I start getting interested.
Okay. Oh, man. So Fort Max gets the shaft. So they we start back with Buster on the island, and we have Ratbat and Shockwave and dealing with Buster, and Buster's giving them lip. And all that.
That's how it goes in the Transformers world.
Yep.
I do get a little excited because they start wiping out humans a little at a time. Like, we stop seeing them as much.
Yeah. Yeah. GB Black or BG or GB Blackrock and all that stuff. But they add more humans in, too. Like I mentioned, issue 42, I'm like, no. Like, I think if I remember right, 39, 40, and 41 were all kind of really good robot kind of stuff. And then issue 42, it's like, hey.
Nebulos.
And the Nebulons, I don't mind some of, like, I like when the Nebulons work with the Autobots. I like when the Nebulons are in the Autobots' bodies or when they have the exosuits or whatever else. Oh, wait. Rebirth is what I like. Whoops, this isn't the cartoon. This is the comic. But yeah, so this issue, we have an island that's going to go, an encapsulated island that's going to go into space. Oh, God.
It's the Space Needle.
Yeah, pretty much. It really kind of is. This issue, man, just, I'm still
kind of like Ratbat being the leader, technically.
That what I was just going to say, I am still tired of Ratbat as the leader of the, like, put Soundwave in charge, put Shockwave in charge, fuck, put Starscream in charge.
Oh, you be careful what you ask for.
Yes, I know. It's coming. I know. I understand. But I'm saying, like, Ratbat, Senator Ratbat or whatever the hell he's a bat that supposedly turns into a cassette. I don't know. I don't know. This first issue, man, this issue 39, just and then we have, for the next one, for 40, we have introducing the Pretenders. I was already out of Transformers toys when Pretenders kind of, like, hit the scene. And I was, like, it's a cool concept. I think it's interesting, but I was, like, okay. I don't know. I just don't know anymore.
The Pretenders aren't bad. I do think it's funny that we get Prime in a digital world, and he just thinks he's a character still.
Yeah, in a video game. That is funny, and that was cool. Yeah. But again, this issue, just like the last one, 90% human, 10% robot. And I get it. You want to have human characters relating to human readers, but we also relate to the robot's characteristics. And, you know, everyone, you know, Peter Cullen and everybody else from G1 always says, oh, Optimus Prime is like a mix between John Wayne and Abe Lincoln or whatever the hell. And that's great. And that's awesome. And I love G1 Optimus Prime, but man, this comic. And yeah, it's like he thinks he's in a video game. It's like, okay, that's a cool concept. That's an interesting concept, but at the end of the day, and all of this Pretender stuff with them in the tubes and whatever else reminds me of the episode Only Human, where Rodimus, RC, Ultra Magnus, and Springer were turned human by Victor Drath and Cobra Commander. Everything is for sale, Mr. Drath. Oh, boy. I have that clip somewhere. I'll probably erase my own voice and put that clip in there because obviously Chris Latta does it better than me because it's his voice. But yeah, this issue, I don't know. What were you feeling with this one? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
For the Space Needle? Or for issue 40 with the Pretenders?
The Pretenders, yeah.
Yeah, the Pretenders, I didn't mind it because we got Optimus back and Goldbug.
Yeah.
And we got to see some of the Autobots getting more or less birthed from Prime.
Prime is Jesus. Yep.
Yeah. And then we see, you know, Prime starting to, he still thinks he can be recreated, but he goes back in to infiltrate the Decepticons. And I just loved it. And Scorponok is just kind of confused. What is going on here?
Yeah, Scorponok is like, you know, a deer in headlights or a robot deer in headlights. But Scorponok is a better leader than Ratbat.
I will concede that. But at the same time, yeah, he's an idiot, too.
He's an idiot, too. But you
it's
know.
Like that old that thing. from the Jim Carrey Grinch. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yep. Idiot. All idiots all around us. I believe on page 48. So at the top of page 48, it says, Commander Scorponok said we would surprise them. Now isn't the time to be recalling the words of that micro-brained moron submarauder. And this, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you have, again, yellow blasters, white background with like yellow and orange flame kind of things from them being blasted, and the Scorponok side characters are red, and the other robots are all blue. This is the original red versus blue. Red laser, blue laser. Oh god. Yeah. Issue 40. And the ending for Prime, you know, where Prime is like, I must admit, though, these recent events have helped crystallize my purpose. My reason for being is so suddenly clear to me. I certainly do. And now I know what it means to be a warrior, a leader like never before. I will never forget. Never. And then next up is Grimlock versus Blaster. I love the battle you demanded, Grimlock versus Blaster, and about 100 more Transformers duking it out too. I love that. I will say, before we get into issue 41, I don't know if I would have liked this as a kid if I had seen this. I mean, I liked comics, but again, I was always a cartoon kid, not a comic kid. But as I was reading through this in order for us to discuss this on the show, I'm like, I would much rather read this as a prose novel than see, like, no disrespect to any of the people doing the art on this series, but this, the way they're telling the stories, the way Buddy Ansky is writing the stories, I feel like it's better as a book or an audiobook than a comic.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. It's just, yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And we can't change it now, but so we get issue 41 and Skrank totaled.
Because Prime, you know, he just can't seem to grasp that he's not a cartoon character anymore.
Yeah, he's not a cartoon character. He's not a video game character.
And he keeps blowing himself up. And then they just see his parts laying on the ground.
So let's see. The Transformers, the movie. Dark Awakening. And, well, technically he didn't die again after it, but Return of Optimus Prime.
Oh, then he died us again in Headmasters, like episode 3.
Oh, okay, well. In the original 98 episodes, Dark Awakening, he came back as a zombie, and then Rebirth, he came back as himself, and I do love the end of that. I always have. I mean, I love Rebirth in general, that's just me. But I love the end of that where Dick Gautier, may the man rest in peace, as Hot Rod is like, or Rod, whatever. He's like, but the Matrix is empty. And Optimus is like, and
it's up to all of us to fill it again.
Uh-huh. Yep. That's the line. Yeah, man, I don't know. I might somehow, and I know this is going to sound stupid and you're going to probably take offense to this. Ladies and gentlemen, I might assign Steve Megatron to do volumes 5, 6, and 7 with somebody else. I don't care who he picks, but I don't know if I can continue with this. Like, I like the story, but just, I don't know. It's the format. Like, if it was a different format, it would be fine. I don't know. Yeah. Anything else we need to talk about for issue 41? I'm trying to see here. Okay, Blaster versus Grimlock, and that's a whole whole thing, and then they finally come together. Oh, we work better together than apart or versus each other. So there's that. Omega Supreme shows up. Anything else on issue 41 that you want to talk about?
Well, I just like the fact that they head to the Nebulos, you know, or mm-hmm. they're beginning to head in that direction, despite idiot Grimlock.
Yeah, despite idiot Grimlock.
Yeah. I think it's funny, though, that they just take his crown. Take it off, you know. I like the fact that there's finally a showdown between Blaster and
Grimlock. Yeah.
But, and then it's just, it gets real confusing because of so many things going on. I do find it funny, though, as they raid the Ark.
Uh-huh.
There's the bodies of Starscream, Frenzy, Skywarp, Thundercracker, Buzzsaw all being shipped off.
Yep.
It's like, this will come back to play.
Oh, yes. This will come, this not only will come back to play, this will come back to bite you in the ass, Autobots. Oh, Lord. I do like Buddy Yanski's writing in these issues, though. I think it's really good writing. I think it's an interesting Transformers story. You know, so there.
There'll come a certain point where the art and the writer changes.
Oh, great. Well, that's not this trade. That's the probably the next one or whatever.
I think it starts in the next.
Yeah.
I like this next issue. This is probably one of my favorites of the group.
Issue 42?
Yes.
Okay, take it away.
I love it because it starts off with two of the Power Masters, you know, going off in Darkwing and Dreadwind, and they combine.
Yeah.
And then their Power Master guys are just eating away and getting fuel, and that's how they're fueling these Decepticons. And then you see the Throttlebots show up, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, Slapdash, Joyride, Getaway, Goldbug. And then, funny enough, the Nebulons look human. They're not green people. And they're asking the leader of this group, Galen, to build or help them build Optimus Prime.
Right.
You know, and they're like, oh, well, you know, you're going to poison yourselves. We poisoned all the supplies for Transformers to not live here. That's why they have the Power Masters. And it's great because the Autobots are just not a match for these Power Masters. And
nope.
Bumblebee's, you know, Goldbug is pleading with them and like, please just load Prime, build him a new body.
Yep.
And they build him, and he looks slightly off, like slightly different. They finally program him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's slowly having an issue. And then they're like, combine with your trailer. And he's like, oh, the trailer. And he's like, oh, wow, this is the most power, you know. And then he still thinks he's in a game.
Yep, he still thinks he's in a game.
Until he has pain hit him.
Yeah, the pain hits him, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, this is real life. Yikes.
You know, and then, you know, he drops to the ground. And I love this look for Prime.
Yeah.
I love the Power Master look. I love how powerful he gets. And then the other guys become Power Masters.
Yep.
And then Prime just goes in there and just mops the floor with the Decepticons.
Yep.
And, you know, Hi-Q is the one in Prime, I believe.
Yep.
And he's got a pretty cool suit, and he pops out to talk to them, and, you know, basically they all have to leave Cybertron.
Pretty much, yeah.
But his story, like Hi-Q, sticks around through the remainder of this series.
Right, yeah. Hi-Q is interesting. I think he's cool. He's just one of those characters that you kind of want to read. You kind of want to know more about him.
Mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So.
Oh, you'll get to learn more of his personality as the thing continues, as the series continues to go on. Oh. So,
yeah, very
cool. So if you're wanting to learn more about him, you'll get your shot.
Absolutely.
I'll let you take the next one because I don't care about this one.
Yeah, so talking about Power Master Optimus Prime really quick. Yeah, you're right. I like the design. I like the shot on page 97 of Volume 4. I think not Decepticons. I just like the way he's standing there. And I went on eBay just to see what original Power Master Optimus Prime is going for. Now, it goes for various prices. And not that I'm going to buy one of these anytime soon. I'm not. But there is a price on here for buy it now. Power Master Optimus Prime Transformers G1 1987 original box and instructions. Now, if it doesn't include, I want to make sure the listing actually includes, especially for that price. I'm not paying that price for just the box and instructions. Because I think this is a scam. I don't know if it is or whatever, but I remember having Power Master Optimus Prime as a kid. And he was so very, very cool. But yeah, I mean, he's so this listing is $290, but it's like a complete with the box, with the instructions. It's not necessarily it's not MSIB. It's not mint and sealed box, but it's damn near close. And I remember as a kid, I always used to play with the big Optimus Prime head that is supposed to be the Power Man. But man, I love this toy as a kid. So good. All right, I need to stop looking at eBay because I will make bad financial decisions. Not that I don't do that anyways. But yeah, this next issue can just fuck off.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. Wait, hold on. No. This is, I thought.
Rodimus first.
Yeah. Rodimus versus Galvatron. I thought that was okay. Speaking, you know, the big broadcast 2006. I like this. I actually like the art. I like the story that's in this. I could do without Skylinks, but everybody could do without Skylinks. I like seeing Astro Train. I actually saw some of these frames in here are pictures I put on the ATTF post about us recording this episode on the Facebook page for All Things Transformers. And yeah, no, this isn't the one that I just say, you know, screw it. But no, this was okay. This is kind of cool. This is kind of fun. It's the next one. It's issue 44.
Really?
Where I'm just, oh, the Cosmic Carnival?
Yeah, I get it.
It hurts. Oh, Marvel. Oh, Generation 1 Marvel. The one thing I am enjoying is seeing how many various colors they can make the Transformers letter logo on each issue. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting color. Wait a minute, what'd they do there? The beginning of this Cosmic, and we're not going to go through all of Cosmic Carnival because we're just not. It's whatever. But the beginning of this, I'm like, wait, isn't that Skylinks? No, it's some weird silvery snake serpent looking thing in space. I'm like, okay. And it's hurtling towards Earth, and they're bringing all their Cosmic Carnival peoples, and what's Optimus doing here? Earth Children. Oh, that's Goldbug. Earth Children, down in front! Oh, man. Some of the time I can take this, like the Rodimus issue, like the Power Master Optimus Prime issue, I can take those seriously and very much enjoy them. When you have four kids with giant robots, I just can't take that seriously. And then they start a whole, or they go to a whole an actual carnival. This feels like Optimus Prime playing basketball all over again, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it pretty much is.
Nope, not for me. And this
I don't like that issue.
No, it just...
No Cosmic Carnival for me.
Thanks. Yeah, and again, we talked about this in, I think, we've probably talked about it in all of them, but when we recorded Volume 2 a few months ago and we recorded Volume 3, there is, at least not at this point, I know there's going to be at the end of this trade, but there is no real continuity from... Like, I love the whole thing at the end of every issue. Next time on blah, blah, blah. Like, this one says, next time, Flash, Decepticon Skullgren becomes Hollywood's latest movie star. MonsterCon from Mars premieres at newsstands near you in 30 days. Obviously, because comics come out monthly. I like the way they do that. But, again, issue 45, like... Skullgren is a character I've never cared about, and this story didn't make me want to care about him any more or any less than I already do or don't. Skylynx is here, that's fun. But there are at least, I want to say, 12 humans or something. Like, there's a lot more, again, that 80-20, 90-10, 70-30 of, like, humans versus Transformers, and I just don't care.
Yeah, so I will preface this with saying the next couple issues suck. and I'm... Yeah.
So...
it's very... This is the problem with the Marvel run. It's very hit or miss.
It's very episodic. It's very, like, it has no, like, you've known me for 15 years. Oh, my God. You've known me for, we've known each other for 15 years now, 2008. Wow. There is no continuity. I'm a continuity person. I'm not saying every, like, if we started out issue 39 that continued the story from the end of issue 38, like it did, because it went from the end of issue 38, Buster was on the island, issue 39, Buster's on the island as it starts, and then it goes into something else. That's fine. Have through lines. Have something that is going to... And I'm not on video, folks, but I'm, like, doing all these hand gestures as I'm sitting here talking about this. But, yeah, like... They were really trying to make this 30, you know, once a month comic, an episodic television series that just was adventure of the week. And while I liked some, like I said, the Power Master and the Rodimus versus Galvatron adventures of the week were good for me, the rest, not so much.
Yeah.
And then we get to the good stuff, because, oh no, we have to salvage the Seacons. I never knew about the Seacons because they weren't in the cartoon, but issue 47, actually no. So this is, okay, so the Seacons are in this, but this starts the Underbase Saga Part 1. So this starts the continuity of a four-part series. And as I'm reading through this, I've noticed it before, but I've never noticed it more than I do now. At the top of that first page where Starscream is, Stan Lee presents The Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
So flippin' cool. Absolutely love that. So, Club Con, apparently Starscream and other Decepticons have started a vacation, what do they call those damn things? A timeshare. They've started a timeshare where they're like, oh, get in me. I'll be your plane to the island, or I'll be your plane to this. And that's interesting, I guess. I don't know. But it leads to interesting things.
That it does.
So what were you thinking with this first part of the Underbase Saga?
I was wondering why Starscream was a like a cruise ship.
Yeah.
As the other Autobots are kind of, you know, having a battle and some of them watching. things. I find it funny that Grimlock is hanging out with Prime and Fort Max.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
And Prime finally pipes in. And then we get, you know, Blaster and some of the other ones, and then Starscream's, you know, fake commercial for their residential island underground.
Yep.
And I hate Ratbat.
Yeah, that's all that needs to be said.
And then they have Jesse.
Yeah, they have Jesse.
Yep. In there, and the Seacons. I don't like the Seacons.
Yeah, I never got the appeal of that. Like, every other combiner, I kind of get why people like or dislike the combiners. Like you know, Devastator, which Devastator is very likable, or, you know, Minasaur, who's Defensor, Computron. I know I'm now naming all just Autobot ones, but, like, I get the appeal of all the other combiners. I never got the appeal of the Seacons.
I think it's funny, though, that Blaster leaves his cassettes.
Yep.
For surveillance, and after he coughs them up.
Yep.
And then she manages to escape.
Yeah.
And one of the other, you know, and then Starscream's like, you know, sorry for the incident, you know.
Sorry for the incident on the beach earlier. Thank you all for coming, humans.
You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just really weird, not a character for him, but I happening to know what happens to him later.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's entertaining.
Yeah, and the whole time I'm reading that scene, the beach scene with Starscream, it makes me think of, is it, no, it's not Prime Problem, it's... The Master Plan, two-parter, where you have Sean Berger and the Decepticons force the Autobots to go into the sun and all that, and they leave Earth and whatever else, and Sean Berger and Megatron take over kind of thing, and you have Starscream dressed up as Optimus. That's what this makes me think of, and very comical for Starscream. So that's very cool, very interesting, and very well done. Anything else on 47?
Nope.
All right, issue 48. The return of Megatron. The end of Optimus Prime, ! I think this is probably the first time in 48 issues that I actually like Megatron's face and black helmet, because if you zoom in on Megatron, he has this like smile. It's not a smirk, it's more of a smile, but it's kind of like a devious smile kind of look, and I really dig it. This cover is so good for issue 48. We start with the flames of Boltax and more humans. Get off my comic. More humans, more Ratbat. At least Starscream is giving him lip.
Starscream always gives lip.
Well, yes, but like, it's freaking Ratbat. Like, come on.
Well, and then he's showing him like a flashback.
Yep.
Of Prime.
Yep.
And the underbase.
Yep. What do you think of the concept of the underbase?
I think it's interesting, like this all-knowledging, you know, resource for them.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of it.
Right.
But I also see that as another one of those MacGuffins.
Yeah, yeah.
Another plot device, but I do like the idea of it.
Yeah, it's a plot device, but it's a plot device that actually functions properly. It's not, you know, just another broken innator kind of thing. It's not just a matrix. It's not just a AllSpark. It's not just the normal Transformers MacGuffins. It's not a It's not a solar needle. It's not a space needle. It's not a ultimate doom where they're going to fire into Cybertron and bring Sari to that. So, and of course, this being the powerhouse, powerful thing that it is, Starscream wants it. Duh.
Yeah, why wouldn't Starscream want it?
Exactly. Didn't see that coming a mile away. Oh, wait, we did. So, but I do love Megatron. Clearly, the objective is Boltax, comrades. A blatant violation of our neutrality agreement. And we should destroy them, Commander. Ruckus, you micro-brain buffoon. They are unwittingly showing us how to avoid every one of Boltax's traps. If this was in, like, written prose book form, I would be eating these words up. Because it's in the format it's in, I almost don't care. Almost don't care.
Almost.
But the next page, Optimus Prime, our destination lies before us, Autobots. I love this panel of Optimus. I love the way it's... Ladies and gentlemen, we've done four trades of this series, and I've always said, five colors, that's it? Come on! How the shading and shadows are done to show Optimus being transformed from his trailer truck mode to the robot mode is amazing. I am going to make you do so many damn different things for this banner. You probably won't, because whatever, but I'm going to try. But I love this image of Optimus. It is so fucking good. Absolutely amazing, wonderful things with Optimus here. And it's just so simple. It's such a nice way to get the character in an action pose in a static comic, like, literally, like, we've talked about it before. There was a rise about a decade ago or so of motion comics where you could buy motion comics and they move and do all kinds of special things. This, like, I could see this panel here in a motion comic and, like, just be flipping out. Like, he's basically doing
Autobots, roll out.
Pretty much. That's what it is. So, yeah. This one panel is almost my favorite thing of this entire trade, is a shot of Optimus Prime transforming. Oh, God. Somebody shoot me now. Wait till you get home. Shoot him now. Shoot him now. Wait till you get home.
Well, I say he does have to shoot me now. So shoot me now.
So Optimus gets, you know, lasered into this, the underbase with the power, and this is kind of where Starscream comes in and realizes, oh, the power. And all that. Megatron wants to. With ultimate knowledge comes ultimate power, Decepticons, and that knowledge is mine for the taking. The Autobots of Cybertron are as good as terminated. You talk, because I think my voice is about to give out.
So, yeah, this, you know, then you have, like, the issue 49 and 50, because I'm going to kind of roll them together.
Absolutely.
49 is just them, you know, various Autobots and Decepticons racing to find, you know, their end goal.
Yep.
And you get to see Skywarp or Thundercracker actually come back in one scene. You see the Seacons combine. You see, you know, kind of the clashing of the leaders between Starscream, Zarek, and Ratbat, and the Autobots all conversing with Blaster and Prime, and you know, seeing the human being confronted by Starscream, who takes him. Which is Buster, the brother of Spike.
Yes.
And kind of leaving everyone to fight each other on the island while Starscream has gotten away with the human who has the device to signal the, you know, the Autobots, and he kind of dumps him.
Yeah, pretty much.
When it suits his needs.
Yep.
And then the, you know, the underbase, it shows up in the next issue, and it kind of reminds me of a golden Borg cube.
Yeah, it does.
As it smashes through things, and you see Buster freezing to death with a transmitter to keep the Autobots busy, and the aerial bots, you know, save him.
Yep.
And then we get Spike, you know, putting his brother in Fortress Maximus to kind of reheat him. And
so wait, Fortress Maximus has been reduced to being a microwave for humans.
Well, that and he's about the size of Power Master Prime. He's not a city.
Right. Yeah.
So he fits on a ship with everybody else. And, you know, you continue to have everybody fighting while, you know, Spike is there. And then Starscream is in his ship chasing down the underbase.
Yep.
By himself. Which yep. seems to be a theme. He does this in G2.
Yeah, Starscream is all alone.
And so the Autobots and Decepticons stop fighting and learn that they need to stop Starscream.
Yep.
And so they take off on the luxury world, and Starscream gets out of the ship and gets hit by the underbase. And he's like, fill me with your unholy power. And which kind of reminds me of when he got zapped in Combiner Wars.
Yep.
Which is probably where they got the idea. So anyways, they shoot, you know, from the ship, and Starscream was able to absorb more power from the underbase than they expected. And just rips the ship apart.
Yeah, he rips the ship apart, and then he gets ripped apart because he's absorbed way too much power.
Mm-hmm. And then he starts becoming, you know, they're realizing that they underestimated Starscream.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, the they're all together collectively on the Ark. Which yep. is somehow rebuilt completely.
They did it off camera.
Yeah. And Starscream is battling all of the flyers.
Of course he is.
And knocked them all out with one shot.
Of course he does.
And then he's damaging everyone as he's starting to get these mechanized bits on him, almost like Doctor Doom in the first Fantastic Four film.
Yep.
And they're all collectively blasting him, all collectively fighting him. And Starscream continues to take them all down as he kind of grows. And somehow he's holding off the entire Autobot and Decepticon army.
Somehow.
No matter their capabilities.
Yep.
And you get to a point where he's like, I'm Starscream the Destroyer.
Yep.
And has very little of his armor still intact completely, because he's just kind of bits and pieces of underbase and Starscream.
Yep.
And then he's the size of Omega Supreme, picking up the Washington Monument to swing it, and Omega puts it back down. And then Starscream kind of looks like a mix between like the Grinch and something at one point as he's fighting Fortress Maximus.
I can kind of see Starscream as the Grinch.
So, yeah. So he kind of flies off, and then, you know, you get Scorponok running off on his own after he blasts Prime. And he's trying to get the underbase as well.
Yeah, everybody's after the underbase, folks, because it is the most powerful thing in the Transformers world at this point.
Yeah, and, you know, Prime is like, I didn't want it before, and I don't want it now.
Yeah, exactly.
and then, you know, the underbase completely envelops Starscream.
Yep.
And Prime is like, as I expected he would.
Yeah.
And he grows huge to the size of, like, almost a Unicron, and is touting his power, and as he's in his monologue, he blows himself up.
He blew up.
Because the power of the underbase was too great for anyone being to possess, and sent him into madness and destroyed him. And so Prime actually saved Scorponok, and so they made amends. And yeah.
This was by far the best issue of this entire trade. I like I said, Power Master, and I like the Rodimus Galvatron stuff. But this issue here was by far the best. Because you only had Buster and Spike. You have like a million other Autobots and Decepticons. And I will have the link in the show notes for this, folks, so you can go look at the TF Wiki article that lists them all. Because I'm not going to read all these names. Yeah, so these stories, I like them, but I don't know. If I want something that's episodic, I will watch a 80s TV show or a 90s TV show. Like, if I want something with straight continuity, that's what I want. And it's not a knock against this, because I know what this was when it was made. It was supposed to be a new adventure every month. And then they gave us the underbase saga with this continuing, as I mentioned before, through line. And it just got like, I want underbase adventures all the time now. Like, I want everybody after this thing. I want them to somehow show where, instead of like, not a Starscream can be destroyed by the underbase, that's fine. But like, let's say Skywarp gets a hold of the underbase, but it does something to him. It changes him somehow. It doesn't destroy him, but it like transforms him into something else or whatever. I think that would be really cool. But again, this is Marvel from the 80s. Not going to happen now, but it would be cool.
Yep.
So Classics Volume 4, I am probably 0 to 5 on our GCRN scale, which everyone can click on the link in the show notes for this episode to find the scale on our website, geekcastradio.com. I'm probably going to give this a straight 3, middle down the road, maybe a 3.5 just because of issue 50 and how good it was, but yeah, I'm in that range. What about you?
I'm the same boat. I like when the art changes, to be honest.
Yep.
Because that's when we start getting into some different territory even. Because they kind of take this and run with it, but they also change the direction that it kind of goes, and it gets more serialized and less episodic.
Cool. Very cool. All right, folks, we are going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some stuff and some ads and some other stuff for other things that I like to promote all the time, like Simplistic Reviews and Triple Takeover and Transmissions Podcast and Altered Geek and Toycast and Tooncast and all that other good stuff from us here at the GCRN. And we'll be back with final thoughts and previewing of what's coming up, both on all things Transformers and the Pull Bag, right after this.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Don't
ToyCast is back. We are talking toys once more here on the GeekCast Radio Network's Toy and Action Figure Podcast. From breaking into the display case to our toy topic talk and the brand new Origins in Toy Collections, where we get guests to tell us their toy story of how they got into toy collecting. ToyCast is the only toy podcast you will ever need. Find us on GeekCastRadio.com and any podcatching client you choose to use. Now go forth, transform and transcend your toy collecting today while listening to ToyCast.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh, yes. Definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
All right, Steve Megatron. All things Transformers and the pull bag. We made it through the first part of Transformers Marvel US Classics. We're going to do another one of these where we cover the rest of the series in August. So we got 3 months to prepare.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know either. All things Transformers, there's a bunch of stuff that Steve and I are going to be talking about for planning for the summer kind of thing and various different things and episodes and whatever else, not just news, but I have ideas that he doesn't know about yet and all that good stuff.
Always how it goes.
Yes, well, that's, you know, usually I have so many ideas in this broken-ass brain of mine. It's like, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. When are we going to do any of this stuff? I don't know. So, and for the pull bag, at least I have a clear thing for that. Episode 520 will be us doing Star Trek Defiant number 1, which is Worf breaking off of the Star Trek series at IDW going into the Defiant. Eduardo is going to be joining me for G.I. Joe World on Fire. Joe Reed will be back for TMNT Reborn Volume 2. My buddy Christopher Tabaxian, Christopher Moose Morton will be joining me for – they did a four-issue Gargoyles series. I forget which company did it, but they brought Gargoyles back. So he's going to join me for that. That'll be sometime here in May, I think, if it gets recorded. And then in June, Radiant Black, we're going back and redoing Volume 1. I will need co-hosts for that, so if there's anyone out there that's interested, please let me know. You can send your submissions to feedback@geekastrio.com. Just put Radiant Black comic series reviews in the subject line. Eduardo will be back to talk G.I. Joe Castlefall with me. Heather Hahi Prime will be back talking The Kill Lock Volume 2. And then after that, there's a few other things, and then we get to Autobotly August 2023, where we cover volumes 5, 6, and 7 of the Marvel US run, and a couple other things too. So that's what's coming up. What do you got going on?
Prepping for some interesting things coming up for the network and job prospects.
Yay, job prospects. That's good. Hire the man, folks. End of story. Yes.
And working on models of Star Trek ships.
Yes, yes. So that's going to kind of be it, folks. You can check us out on the socials. It's all things TFV3 on Twitter, at the pullbag on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike on Twitter. Obviously, you can go to geekcastradio.com, get all the stuff there. We have all the shows and even my own fictional character Facebook page on Facebook, so check all that out. What about you, sir? Where can the people interact with you?
At SCP21.
All right, Megatron, close the show.
Excellent. Yes.
Autobots, roll out.
No.
Yes.
No.
Cyclones.
Terrorize.
No.
Oh, fuck.
More than meets the eye.
Ow. Take a drink.
Wrong type of show.
Well, it doesn't have to be alcohol. I didn't say take a shot. All right.
Autobots, roll out.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.